We begin the current Daf Ksubas Daf Tzadik Vav. We begin on the bottom of Daf Tzadik Hei Amud Beis, 7 lines up on the bottom of the Amud, where we begin the new Perek, the 11th Perek of Masechta Ksubas, Perek Amana Nezainis, which discusses primarily the halachas of an Amana, of a widow, how it relates to the previous marriage. So the Mishnah begins, Amana Nezainis Menichsi Yisaimim. A widow gets her sustenance, gets fed from the estate of the orphans, which is one of the Tanoim of the Ksuba, which even if it's not written into the Ksuba, it's one of the Tanaim of Bezdin, of the courts, that the woman should be fed, even though her husband's not alive anymore, from the husband's estate, which is now owned by the orphans. Now, Maisi Adel Shalahen. Now, to counter that, which is always the correlation of the wife being fed from the husband, and then in this case it's the orphans, her earnings that she makes then goes back to the estate, goes to the orphans. However, V'in Chayavim Bikfaras, although this is one of the things that the husband is obligated in, if she dies, here the orphans, meaning those who inherit the father, meaning her husband's estate, they don't have to bury her. And the reason being is because the inheritors over here in this situation who inherit the father, that's not their obligation. Because actually, Yersheho Yershik Subasa, it's those who inherit the woman who inherit her ksuba, which the Gemara will explain the redundancy of that, which alludes to the Shemeres Yavam, Chayavin Bikfarasa. They, the her inheritors, they have to go ahead and bury her. The reason being is because the obligation of the husband to bury the woman is because he gets her ksuba. Now that the husband died before the wife, so he's not inheriting her, and neither are the husband's inheritors. I mean, he could have children from a different wife. His inheritors are not inheriting her. So therefore, the woman herself, obviously she's dead, she can't bury herself, but I mean to say, her inheritors who inherit her ksuba, because it's the ksuba, whoever gets that, is the one that's obligated in her burial, and although generally it's the husband, but in this case where he dies before her, and then she dies, her inheritors get her ksuba, so they have to bury her. Now the Gemara asks Ibai Lord the following question. When we said in the Mishnah opening up Amana Nizainis, that a woman gets fed, is the girsa nizainis done? Is the correct reading that a woman gets fed from the estate of the orphans? Or is it referring to a specific type of a widow that gets fed? Then these are the halachas specifically, meaning then her ma'isi yedaya shalahen. Then her earnings go to them, but still they don't have to bury her. As the Gemara explains, nizainis tnan is the girsa as it's brought in our Mishnah that a woman gets fed as a widow from the estate of the orphans, Uka Anche Galil, like the custom was of the people of the Galil, where they would write in the Ksuba, the husband would write to the woman as he's getting married, Atehe Yasvis Bebesi, you will dwell in my house, Umesazim Menichse, Kol Yimei Megar Al Motzach Bebesi, you will always dwell as a widow in my house until you go ahead and move on, you get married to someone else, but you will always get fed. Therefore it says, Nizainis, a woman gets fed. Now, the orphans don't have an option of not feeding her. Or is the girsa hanizoynistnan, a woman that gets fed, but meaning sounding that there is an option of not being fed, then the halacha will be as the Mishnah continues, ma'isi de'er shalahen, then if she's being fed, then her earnings go to the orphans. And that would be ka'anshi Yehuda, like where the custom of the people in Judea, which is a different area in Eretz Yisrael, they would write in their ksubas, until the orphans decide that they want to give you the ksuba, up until then that they don't give you the ksuba yet, then you will be fed. Now therefore, what that sounds like is, but v'ibayu, if the orphans want to, lo yahavile, then they don't have to feed her anymore mezainis. Rather, they could give her ksuba, and they'll be done with her. That would be the girsa of hanizainis. In other words, what the Mishnah is saying is, a widow that is nizainis from the nichsi yisaimim, it's a run-on sentence. Then ma'isi yedeha shalahem, then her earnings go to them. In other words, as long as they want to feed her, then you'll have that transaction where then she gets fed and her earnings go to them. But that would be hanizainis only if they want to. So that's the question. What is the correct girsa in our Mishnah, which is the Stam Mishnah, that the halacha would follow like? So we continue on top of Tzadi Vav Men Aleph, where the Gemara says, Toshima, come in here, we'll prove it. Because later, Amarok statement, Amreb Zeir Amashmol, he says, Mitzis Amon Ala Atzma, a widow that finds a lost object, she gets to keep it for herself. Now, so the Gemara proves, I Amret Bishleim Hanizainis Tnan, if you say the correct Girsa in our Mishnah is Hanizainis, it's not saying like its own halacha, like it would be saying if it was Nizainis. It's saying that a woman that gets fed, which as we explained before, that That would mean that the anonymous Mishnah of the beginning of our parak would be like the people of Yehuda, which is that they don't have to, they could give her the ksuba and be done with her. Well, then shopper. So that makes sense, the halacha of Shmuel, that is told about when she's not being fed. If she's not being fed, then her mitziah she gets to keep for herself. Just like any woman where she gets to keep her earnings if she's not being fed. But if the halacha is, as the Gersa would be in our Mishnah, that every single woman that's a widow that gets fed before she gets a ksuba, gets fed from, or she has to get it as long as she doesn't decide to marry on, to move on and get married, she gets her mezainas, which would mean that stam like the people of the Galil. So then the question would be, then why would her mitzia, her, if she finds a lost object, why would it go to herself? But it should be kabal. It should be, the orphans should be just like their father, her husband. In other words, because we're saying it's the same transactional synthesis here between the widow and the husband and his estate. And that is ma bal mitzias isha labayla, just like by a husband. When she finds a lost object, it goes to her husband because she's being fed from him. Just like over here in our Mishnah, we're saying that if she's being fed from the orphans, then she has to, her earnings go to him. So when she finds a lost object, it should go to the inheritors, because it's the same thing. If you're saying she has to be fed, so therefore, why would you say that mitzis isha labayla? That it would go la'atzma, like Shmuel says, obvious toma, like the Anshe Yehuda, that it doesn't have to, that the woman doesn't have to be fed, and that's what it's talking about, that type of situation. So I think Mara says no. Lo'il me'emel chod nizayin nisnan, truthfully I can tell you that the Gersa is like our Gersa in our Mishnah, that a woman, as a widow, always has to be fed. It's in, the ball's in her court. She, as long as she's a widow and she doesn't get married to someone else, they cannot revoke her rights to getting mezainas. Now, so why does then her mitzias go to herself and not like her ma'is yadayim, which go to her husband's inheritors? So too, the mitzias should go just like the husband. And that the Gemara says, no, there's a fundamental difference between her earnings and when she finds a lost object. Because time in my Amr Rabban mitzias isha labayla, what's the reason why the rabbi said that when a woman finds a lost object, it goes to her husband? That's only delight to have a la'eva, that there shouldn't be any hatred between husband and wife because of what he's doing for her, and then yet, she, when she finds a lost object, it doesn't go to him. But hani, tahavilahu eva, but regarding the inheritors, let there be hatred. In other words, we don't care that it's going to cause discord, because they have to feed her anyway. That's a tanai bezdin. Now, that stands in contrast to her earnings, where that was a rabbinic transaction of mezainis, sustenance, gets changed over for earnings. If you're getting fed, then automatically the earnings go to the other party. So that's where it goes to the Yarshim. But Mitzia wasn't a transactional analysis. It was just based on because we don't want Ava because of the ramifications. But here they don't have an intimate relation between her and her late husband's inheritors. And therefore we don't care. She could keep her Mitzia, but her Maisidim go to them. And that could be even if, like our Girsel, like the Anshe Galil, that it goes nizainis, that the woman always is fed as a widow. Now, related to this discussion regarding the relation between the widow and her late husband's inheritors, orphans, so Amr Bi Yisrael Chanina says, "Kol malocha she'isha ois labala." All the type of work and activities that a woman has to do for her husband, which was brought down on Daf Nun Tesma Beis, she has to grind and she has to bake. So all these activities, Amon ois liyershim, the widow has to do for the inheritors. Again, as we explained, this is what she's part of the house. She's getting fed, so she has to do all these activities. Chutz mimizigas akais, except for the mixing of the drink, vatzos amita, and making the bed, v'achatzos panim b'ragel, and of washing the hand and the face and the feet. Now, the reason for this is because these types of activities were things that bring closeness and endearing for intimacy, as the Gemara says in Daf Dalam Beis. And that's why a nida, a menstruating woman, doesn't do these things for her husband, because she's forbidden to have physical intimacy with her husband. So therefore, these things don't apply, and they're not appropriate for the widow to be doing this for her late husband's orphans, and therefore these things she doesn't do. But everything else, which are things which she's required to do, again, transactional for what she's getting from this state, she has to do for them too. Similar halacha, Amr Yishuv ben Levi says, "Kol malocha she'eved oisa l'rabbi, all type of activities that a slave does for the master, tamar oisa l'rabbi, a student does for his teacher, chutz matars minol, except for untying the shoelaces, because whoever sees this will say that this must be a non-Jewish slave. Because although he acts like a Jew, actually a non-Jewish slave has many halachas like a Jew. Therefore, a student shouldn't be doing that because they're going to say that he's an Eved Kenani. Now, however, Amar Rav qualifies this halacha. And he says, they didn't say that he can't untie his Rebbe shoe only if they don't recognize who he is. But if they know who he's a great sage himself, and he's doing it for his teacher, that's not a problem. Moreover, Amar Ravashi says, even in the place where they don't know who he is, this issur of untying his shoelaces was not said, only if he's not wearing tefillin. Of monach tefillin, less than, but if he's wearing tefillin, then there's no problem. The reason being is because it's not the custom of slaves to wear tefillin. So, and therefore, that itself indicates that he's not Eved Kenani, and then he could untie his teacher's shoelaces. A related discussion, Amar b'chiyah b'rabba Amar b'yechanan, he says, kol ha'manei ha'talmidoi m'lashamshei, if a person has a student and doesn't allow him to serve him, ki'ilu m'nei m'min ha'chesed, as if he has held back from his student a kindness. Shneim, like it says a pasuk in Eve, it says, lamos mirei'ehu, if someone removes himself from his friend, chesed, it's like you're holding back from him a kindness. Now, actually, there are those, Rashi brings, I learned it out from the previous part of the pasuk over there, where it says, v'sushiyah nitcham imeni, and that counsel will be rejected from me, which not, a person not being able to have that counsel from his teacher, it says, then lamas mirei'ehu chesed, it's like removing kindness from him. Because it's gadol shimusha shel, it's the yosem limuda, serving one's master is greater, the Gemara says, than learning, and therefore one should not remove that ability of the student to serve his teacher. Now Rav Nachman Yitzchok, I mean, he says even more than that. He says af perik min yerushalayim, not allowing the student to serve the teacher is like also removing the fear of heaven from him. Shneim, like it says there at the end of that pasuk, it says v'yirashaka yazif, and that the fear of God he'll be removing. So therefore, it's important to allow the student to have shimush by the Rebbe. Now, returning to what we had been speaking about before, the Gemara says, Amar Belazer says, Amana shetavsa metaltlim b'mezaynasau. So he said that the widow has rights to get mezaynas, especially if the gear says, as our mission is, Amana nizaynas, which is that she always has to get fed from the estate. Now, if let's say she went and she grabbed some movable items b'mezaynasau for her sustenance, meaning she wants to get fed. Let's say they were tarrying and delaying. So she goes and she grabs a movable item that she knows from her late husband's estate, which is now by the orphans, and she uses it to buy herself food. So Rabbi Lazar says, Masha tafsa tafsa, what she has grabbed, and that we don't remove that from her. Now this is in spite of the fact that the halacha is, as was brought in the Afsamach Tesama Beis, that mimikar koi volumatatli, which is that really for her mezainah she could only collect from the karka, from land, and not from movable items, but since she grabbed it, we don't take it away from her, she could use it for mezainas. If a widow grabs movable items for her mezainas, what she grabbed is grabbed. And as the Gemara brings, like Rav Dimi came, he said, there was an incident with the daughter-in-law of Rav Shapsi, that she grabbed a leather sack, is full of money, and it wasn't within the domain of the rabbis to remove that from her, because although it's matatlin, but once she grabbed it, she could keep it for mezainis. Now, however, Amar Avinah qualifies, says, this, if she grabs matatlin from the yisoyim that she could keep it, was only said if she's doing it for sustenance. But if she's doing it for her ksuba, which is when she wants to collect her ksuba, which is owed to her by her late husband, so then they remove that from her, she could only get for mezainis from matatlin, and what meaning once she grabbed, but if it's for ksuba, then they actually remove it from her. Now on that, maskibla ma baravash, he asks on this qualification of Ravina. He says, why? Maishna li ksuba, di mikarkoi v'limitaltli, what's the difference by ksuba? Because it's the halacha that a ksuba could only be collected from karka, and not metaltlin. But mezainis nami mikarkoi v'limitaltli. But mezainis also has the same halacha that sustenance she could only collect from karka, from land, and not from movable items. Elo, but still in spite of that, we said, when it comes to sustenance, if she grabbed, she grabbed, then we don't take it away from her. So he says the same thing applies to ksuba. If she grabbed it already for the ksuba, we do not remove it from her. Now, however, Amali Rav Yitzchak bar Naftali l'Ravina, but Rav Yitzchak bar Naftali said to Ravina, who he said that it's only for mezainis, this halacha, if you grab and you could keep it, but not for ksuba. He says, but this is how they said in the name of Rava, like you, which is that you're right, it's only for mezainis, and but not for ksuba. If it was grabbed for ksuba, then they would remove it from her, even if she grabbed it right. He says, a related halacha to this discussion, this topic of mezainis, he says, Amona sheshasa shtayim b'shalosh shanim, if a widow waited 2-3 years, and she never claimed mezainis sustenance from the orphans, if the mezainis, so she has lost the right to the sustenance. Now, that the Gemara asked on the phraseology that he used. If she tarried 2 years, she lost. Shalosh mebayi, they have to say if she waited 3 years, she lost. So the Gemara gives two interpretations. Loi kasha, kan baniya. When she waited 2 years, that's talking about a poor woman. So kan bashira, but the one of 3 years is talking about by a wealthy woman. In other words, she has the ability to wait a little bit longer because she's wealthy, she doesn't need so much. Therefore, if she didn't claim the sustenance right away, it's not a sign of that she's forgiving on it until 3 years. But a poor woman, where she can't hold out that long, obviously if she waited more than 2 years, she is meichelet, she's forgiving on it. Inami, another approach for this is, kan, when we said after 2 years is obviously a sign that she's not claiming it, that she's meichel, is talking about beprutza, is talking about by an outspoken, loud woman who she has no problems and of coming and claiming her money. So 2 years already is an indication if she didn't claim that she's forgiving on it. Kan, when we said it's only after 3 years, is betznua, is by a modest woman who she's embarrassed to come to the courts, and therefore after 2 years is not an indication that she was meichel on it, that she was forgiving, because it could be she's just embarrassed. For such a woman requires 3 years. Now, on this halacha, Amar Rava, he says, that don't mistake, loimaran illa mafreya, this that it said that if you waited 2 or 3 years, depending on what type of woman you are, that then you have lost the rights to mezainis, that's only talking about retroactively. That's the one for the last 2 or 3 years that you didn't claim, so now you lost the rights to that. Aval haba, yeshla, of course, moving forward, she could still go ahead and get mezainis for the future. It just meant for the past that she didn't collect it. Now, on this halacha, regarding the woman's ability to collect the mezainis, the Gemara asks Boyer B'yichin. B'yichin asks the following question. If Yisayimim Oimrim Nesanenu, if the orphan said that we already gave for the coming year the money for sustenance for the widow, B'hiyo Oimrim Nesanenu, she says, what are you talking about? I didn't take yet. They still owe me money of sustenance for this year. Amila Hevi Raya, on who is an incumbent to bring proof to show that if it was given or not. So the Gemara continues on Amud Beis, and the Gemara explains the question. Do we say nichse that the estate of the late husband is becheskes yas mikaimi, is in the situation where it's established already? Who's the owner of that? It's the orphans, because they're the yarshim, and therefore comes out that the widow is the mitzi. She's trying to remove money which is established as theirs, and therefore as the general rule of hamitzi mechaber levaraya. And therefore, it's incumbent upon the widow to bring proof. Now, how does she bring proof that they didn't give her yet? It would have to be, as Rashi explains, that she brings witnesses that testify that the orphans admitted in front of them that she didn't get it yet. But as long as she doesn't bring witnesses, she cannot collect because she's the mitzi. Or maybe no. Maybe actually that we view the estate as in the chazaka of the widow. The reason being is because since there's a shibud, there's an obligation of the tanai bezin that she gets mezainis, we view the estate in relation to her mezainis as if it's in her possession. And therefore it's actually coming upon the orphans to bring a proof that they actually paid already. So what's the halacha? So the Gemara says, Tashma, let's bring a raya from the Tani Levi. Levi taught in this braisa, Almana, a widow, calls Manchalinesis, as long as she didn't get married yet, she's still a widow in the collecting from her late husband's estate. Alayasayim Levi Rai, he says clearly that it's incumbent upon the orphans to bring a proof. Obviously, he holds that Nechasma Becheskis Almanakami. Whereas Nisas, he says that if she's already married to someone else, so she doesn't get Mezainas anymore if she's already married, but she's coming to collect the Mezainas of the past years that she didn't collect yet, then Alayasayim Levi Rai. Then it's coming upon her to bring a proof, and the reason being is because once she gets married to someone else, then obviously the nechasim are not in her reshus anymore. It's only when there's a shibud of mezainis, which is when she's not married to someone else yet anymore, then that's becheskes almana, at least according to the way the Brice of Levi is bringing it, that's when she's not married. But when she's married, then she would have to bring a proof that she didn't yet collect that mezainis. So that's the answer according to the Brice of Levi. But the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Shimi bar Ashi, he says actually, Ketanoi. This question of Rabbi Yechanan is actually Tali in the Machlekes Tanoi. The Brice says as follows. Mecheres, a woman that's a widow, so she sells in her late husband's estate because she has rights to collect for mezainis and ksuba. So she sells the items that's left in her husband's estate. Vikoseves, she writes in the documents of the sale of different items she's selling off from her husband's estate to get for her mezainis and for her ksuba. She, in these documents that she's writing for the lekuches, for the purchasers, she writes that which is sold for mezainis. She writes elu le mezainis macharti. These fields I sold for sustenance. Ve'elu, and these, meaning when she's selling land for, let's say, to collect for aksuba, then she delineates and specifies in the document itself that these are l'ksuba mecharti, that these I'm selling for the ksuba. That's the Rebbe Yehuda. That's the opinion of Rebbe Yehuda. He says she has to write what it is that the field's being sold for, if it's for her collection of mezainis, or for when she's collecting her ksuba. Rebbe Yisim, he says, no. Mecheres v'keseh v'stam. She could sell off land and write a regular document, and actually that makes her positioning stronger, as the Gemara will later on explain why that is. But that's what he says. She doesn't write what it's sold for. So the Gemara says, "My love, Bokim, isn't it this that they're arguing about?" According to Rebbe Yehuda, he says, no, she has to specify if it's being sold for her collection of mezainis or for the ksuba. He holds, "Nichse b'cheskes yasmikani," that the presumptive state of the estate is in the positioning of the orphans. Now, therefore, v'almana lehevi raya. Therefore, it's incumbent upon the widow to bring a proof if the orphans had paid her a mezainis or not. Now, therefore, as Rashi explains, if she doesn't specify in the documents of sale what was sold for her ksuba and what was sold for her mezainis, what's going to end up happening is when she's going to come to the orphans to collect, they're going to tell her, wait a second, those fields that you sold it for your ksuba, and you received your ksuba already. Now, if she's going to say to them, okay, so fine, so if that was for my ksuba, then give me for my mezainis that I ate, they're going to say, no, we already gave you metatlin, movable items, can be karka, because that would be documented, metatlin always with your mezainis, and they're believed, because she would have to bring a proof. So therefore, since Rabbi Yehuda holds that nechasim b'cheskes yasmi, that's why he says she has to write, because that way she'll be able to have proof and documented if it was sold for ksuba or mezainis, because if not, they have the right to say that was for your ksuba. And then she'll say, fine, so if they give me mezainis, but she can't, because she'll have to prove it, and she won't have any proof. So that's according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yisi sava loy bay lefrusha, however, Rabbi Yisi says that no, she doesn't have to specify what it's being sold for, because he holds nichse b'cheskes almanakami. He holds that the estate is in the presumptive state of the widow's positioning. And therefore, she is muchzik in it for her needs of mezainis and ksuba. Hence, vali yisayim lehevi raya. It's incumbent upon the orphans to bring proof if they paid her. Now, therefore, as Rashi explains, as the Gemara later on will explain, that it's better for her not to say what it's being sold for. And the reason being is because the purchasers that buy the fields from her husband when he was still alive, if it happens that the estate of the orphans are liquidated, that it's depleted, so then she'll calculate whatever she sold for, she'll say that it was sold for the mezainis. Now, therefore, the purchaser that purchased from her husband after she had been married, she'll be able to go to them to collect her ksuba. Now, because if she specifies in the documents, let's say, that I sold it for my ksuba, she's not going to be able to go anymore and take care of, let's say, her needs for mezainis, because a woman cannot go collect from lekuches for her needs for mezainis, as the Mishnah says in Masechtas Gittin of Memches and Beis, and has quoted many times in Shas, that one cannot collect for the sustenance of the woman or for the daughters from the chasam shabadim. So therefore, Rabbi Yisi says, better don't say, because if you're going to write it for your ksuba, then you're not going to be able to go ahead and collect what wasn't collected yet, which you still have for mezainis, from the lekuches in the case of the nichsi yisayim gets depleted, because only for the ksuba could she collect, but not for mezainis. So that's the machlekes Rabbi Yisrael and Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, it seemingly is this machlekes, this question of Rabbi Yechanan, who is the Nechasim Becheskes? Rabbi Yehuda sounds like he's saying it's Becheskes Yasmi, and Rabbi Yisrael sounds like he's saying it's Becheskes Amona. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda requires the heart to specify, because if not, they're going to be able to have the upper hand and say, oh, you sold it for Ksuba, and therefore we're not giving you Ksuba, and for Mezainis, oh, we gave you because you have to prove for Mezainis. And in contrast to Rabbi Yisi, who he says that, no, she doesn't have to say, because she's the Mochzik, and they'll have to prove that they already paid a Mezainis. And the reason why it's better not to say at all is because if she writes for Ksuba, then if their estate ever gets depleted, then she's not going to collect the Mezainis from the Lekuches, so better don't say anything. So therefore, she has the upper hand. Now, on that, the Gemara says that no. Mimai, who said that this is what they're arguing about? Dilma de kuli alma nechse becheskes amonikam. Maybe, actually, everyone agrees to the way the Brice of Levi said it, that the estate, in relation to the woman's mezainis and ksuba, is in the chazaka of the widow. And vali yisayim lehevi rai, and therefore, generally, it's incumbent upon the orphans to bring a proof that they already gave her the mezainis. Now, but Rabbi Huda, so then why does Rabbi Huda require, differently than how we explained Rabbi Yisi, that to specify what is being sold for? So then the Gemara says, "Eitz teva kamashma." Maybe he's just giving her good advice. In other words, to lay likra la rav sanusa, that she shouldn't have a word out on the street that she's a ravenous woman that eats a lot, because if someone's going to see she's selling so much land, they're going to think she's selling it for mezainis, for sustenance. So the word's going to get out that she's a woman that has a huge appetite, and no one's going to want to marry her. And that's why he says that you should write that it's being sold for ksuba or mezainis, that people know what was sold for mezainis and what not. As the Gemara proves this, because the eloi tem hachi, because if you don't say this, that the reason of Rabbi Yehuda is not because, as we had assumed in the Havamina, that because the nechasim becheskes yasmi, no, it's not true, rather it's becheskes amon. If you don't say this, but then hodabay Rabbi Yechanan. This question of Rabbi Yechanan, which started this whole discussion, that he asked, who has to bring the proof either way? So, although let's say he didn't hear about this brice of the Machlekes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yisi, which we tried saying that will answer his question that it's actually Machlekes Tanoim, but Mishnayis Rabbi Yechanan definitely knows about, because the Mishnayis are always told in the Beis Medrash. Not every brice was necessarily known in the Beis Medrash. But if you're saying that the understanding of Rabbi Yehuda's halacha of specifying what it was sold for is obviously because Cheskes Yasmi, and not the way we're trying to explain right now that it's only because of good idea, good counsel, that they shouldn't call her a ravenous woman, then Tif Shalei Memesdin. Then Rabbi Yechanan should have brought a proof to his question from the Mishnah later on Daf Tzadi Zayin Mabez. The Mishnah says, Mecheres L'mezaynis Shalei Bebezin. A woman could sell from her late husband's estate for her sustenance, even not in court. V'kaysevis, and she writes, Eilu L'mezaynis Mecherti. That these I have sold for my sustenance. Where seemingly, This should be proof that it's incumbent upon the widow to bring a raya. Because from that Mishnah later on, the coming daf, we see that the Mishnah requires her to specify what it was sold for, which is essentially the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. And if you say the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda is indicative of saying that, oh, why should I have to specify? Must be because the orphans have the upper hand, and it's Becheskes Yasmi. And that's why she has to say what it was sold for, so that they cannot claim what it was sold for and thus make her have the lower hand. So why didn't he bring a proof from that? So that's what the Gemara says. Rather, Ella mimasnitin leka lemashmanai. So therefore, you can't bring a raya from that Mishnah, because the Eitzot Teva kamashmalan, that was just giving her good counsel that they shouldn't call a ravenous woman. And the whole point of specifying was not because that it's necessary for the widow to bring a proof. So chenami Eitzot Teva kamashmalan. So therefore, the Gemara says here also, in the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, was also only good counsel, and therefore we could say that actually everybody holds Nechse Becheskes Amana the way it was brought in the Brice of Levi. Now the Gemara says Inami. Another approach to say that it's not necessarily that this question of Rabbi Yechanan, that what happens with the estate of the person who passed away, is it Becheskes Yasmi or is it Becheskes Amana regarding Tarksuba and Mezainis, that we could actually say the Kuli Almei, that everyone actually holds the other way around. Nechse Becheskes Yasmi Kami. Actually, that everyone, even Rabbi Yisi, holds that Nechasim are in the presumptive state of the orphans. In other words, what that means is that when the orphans say that we gave her Mezainis already, it's incumbent upon the widow to bring a raya that it wasn't yet given to her yet, which is essentially what seemingly is Rabbi Huda's explanation. But in spite of that, Rabbi Yossi still says, better for her not to write what it was sold for, because that will help her in her ability to collect from Lekuchais, as we explained previously just before, that what was sold off after she was married in her husband's lifetime, because of what she could collect for that, only could be collected from Lekuchas for Ksuba, and not from Mezainis, which, as the Gemara says, because of a high new time in Rabbi Yossi is Kedabai Kashisha. The reasoning of Rabbi Yossi is like a Bai Kashisha. Dama Bai Kashisha, like a Bai Kashisha said, Moshe Rabbi Yossi Lamad Avadem. What could we explain with an analogy for the halacha of Rabbi Yossi? Again, because we're trying to understand, if everyone agrees B'cheskes Yasmi, seemingly Rabbi Yehuda should be correct, that she should specify that they can't go ahead and claim, oh, you didn't write what it's sold for. Okay, it's sold for Ksuba, so that you're not getting from us anymore. And regarding Mezainis, oh, we gave you Mezainis. She's like, what are you talking about? You never gave Mezainis. Said, yeah, we gave you Metatlin. And she would have to prove it, because they're in the Chazaka and not her. So why does Rabbi Yossi say that you don't specify? So he says you could compare it, L'shchiv Mera, to a person on his deathbed. Shema that he tells, Tnu Masai Mezuz, give another 200 zuz, l'pleini balchayvi, to this person who's my creditor, who I already owe 200 zuz anyway. On that, the halacha is, ratza b'chayvi noitlan, if he wants, now he has the ability to collect 200 zuz. First 200 zuz that was always owed to him as a balchayv, which is ratza b'chayvi noitlan. He could take it as, when he's coming to collect now 200 zuz, he could take it as a creditor. Ratza b'matana noitlan, if he wants, he could take it, which was now gifted to him by the shchiv mara as a gift, which, as Tosi explains, he says that both these 200 he's going to be able to collect. But what the Gemara is saying is that if he wants, he could now take these available assets, which was said by the Shechem Rab, where he said, give these 200 zustim, he could take it in the collection of his chayv, of the loan that was owed to him. But the problem with that option is that then he will not be able to collect the 200 that was gifted to him now from, let's say, if the B'nai Charin get depleted, from a Shabbatim. That's why, as we continue on top of Tzadi Zayinim and Aleph, in B'matana Noitlan, if he takes now these 200 zuz now as the halacha of a gift, which is what the Shechimra, the dead person on the deathbed, is saying, give him 200 zuz, loy kach yafa koichai, doesn't that give him a stronger positioning? In other words, because now, afterwards, that he already took the 200 as matana from what the dead person was giving him, now, even if, let's say, that depleted his estate, he could go ahead and collect from Lekuchais because of his chayv, because of what was owed to him, let's say, by a loan. Because if, let's say, it was the other way around, you cannot go ahead and collect, if, let's say, he took the first 200 from the chayv, from what's available, if that depleted, he cannot collect 200 from Meshabadim for Matana. Matana doesn't allow you to collect from the Meshabadim. So therefore, if what happens now is when he gives him the ability of collecting 200, better take the 200 available from Matana so that the chayv, it will allow you to collect from the Chasim Mishabadim. So that's what he says is an analogy for the halacha over here, for the halacha of Rabbi Yossi. Here also, regarding her mezainis hasasnins, that as we explained before from the Gemara Masechtas Gittin, she cannot collect from Lekuchas. Only regarding her ksuba could she collect from Lekuchas. So therefore, essentially it's better for her not to write, as we had explained a few times on this daf, not to write what it was for. Because if she writes that it was for a ksuba, then she loses the ability to collect the remaining outstanding balance that she has, which is for mezainis. Because if, let's say, nechsi semi get depleted, she can't go to lekuchas of that anymore. So therefore, it's better for her not to show her cards, and then she leaves open the option. If, let's say, it happens, although possibly, and this is the question that Rashi addresses, he says that, but then you have the problem, which really is the source of Rabbi Huda's opinion, to delineate what it was sold for, of the orphans. Because they're going to say that, what do you mean? Everything you sold, it doesn't say what you sold it for. So they're going to say you sold it for your ksuba. Hence, you already got your ksuba. And moreover, we're going now that it's nixei becheskes yasmi, they're going to say, we already gave you mezainis. And that's where Rabbi Huda says that lefrushe, that she should specify what it was sold for, so they cannot do that. So on that, Rashi explains that Rabbi Yossi's approach would be that she should have witnesses that see what she's selling for mezainis. Now, if the need ever arises, they'll come and testify that, no, it's not true. You, the orphans, cannot claim it was sold for ksuba. And hence you don't have to give the ksuba. And more of mezonos you don't have to give either because it's becheskes yasmi. On that, no. She'll sell it for mezonos because that's always the better one to do. And then that which was sold for ksuba, she won't notify that it was sold for ksuba. And the reason being is because she doesn't want the lekuches to know about that. And she could always claim that it was not. It was the one sold for mezonos so that she could collect from the lekuches for ksuba. And therefore, Rabbi Yossi holds, better not to show you cards. Because then you have the upper hand, and moreover, we take care of the problem of Rabbi Yehuda, which is what the orphans can tell her, she'll have witnesses that see that it was sold for mezainis, so they know. So if the need ever comes for the orphans, she'll say, wait, I have witnesses that prove it was for mezainis. But however, what's sold for ksuba, she won't have that made in public knowledge, again, because she could always say that it was for mezainis so that she could collect from the lekuches, as it's for her ksuba, and to say that it was whatever was sold previously was from the Zionists, and now she collected ksuba from the Kuchas.